Metro Sigma 6, codename for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We are back talking about actual G.I. Joe, kind of, Sigma 6. Close enough. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And y'all are such good spirits today. Isn't the world coming to an end?
You'd think we had Buzz Dixon back or something with how smooth that opening was.
Neil Ross was back on the show again.
I went to the Grand Canyon for a week, and I'm still kind of
high, kind of high. Exhausted.
Yeah, not no. I mean,
come on, Chan. Yeah. What other reason do you go to the Grand Canyon except to get baked off your mind?
Is that a thing? I assume so. Getting real high and hanging around the edge of a gigantic, I don't know, like a 20-mile long cliff probably isn't the best idea.
I just don't think going to a 20-mile long cliff is a good idea to start with. So what do I know?
I mean, here's the thing. Well, you got to do it once, right? Because are you going to be the only guy that's like, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I hear it's neat.
I don't know. For the long time, people were saying that about Mount Rushmore. And now it's like people were embarrassed to admit they've been to Mount Rushmore. Maybe at some point the Grand Canyon will get super problematic.
It's not the least problematic thing out there, but they are doing better by their indigenous representation. So it's,
They should just cast it in a Marvel movie, and then I'm sure terrible things will come out about it.
Don't you mean a DC movie as the Flash? Hey, everybody.
Oh. I mean, clearly you don't know about two major stars of two major Marvel properties.
Wait,
either.
Who's the pretty second one?
Any.
Chan, I assume you are.
Chan is the second one?
It turns out that Samuel L. Jackson is a Nazi.
Don't even joke about that.
He's a card-carrying Nazi. He's actually a clone of
don't
a...
Don't even joke about that. If we lose Samuel L. Jackson, we lose the Earth.
It's a bad thing. Wait, no, yeah. I know about Kang. Who's the other one?
Tenoch Huerta, who's that? Was Namor.
Oh, no, what not did he Namor.
Do? Oh, no.
I mean,
allegedly,
he's been accused of doing terrible stuff to a woman he used to date.
I mean, he wasn't really that great a Namor anyway. I mean, it's not like we're losing Jonathan Bridges over here, you know?
That's the bad part about this story.
Yeah.
Also, you called him Jonathan Bridges, didn't you? Did you?
Is that Bridges? Jonathan Majors? Sorry.
Who's Jonathan Bridges?
I all of a sudden started thinking about Lloyd Bridges and what a delight. Oh my
God.
From Airplane?
Yeah, non-problematic, that guy, I'm hoping.
No, I've got some bad news for you about him.
Anybody who was in any dude who was in a movie before like 1973, 100% has done some shady business.
There's almost no chance a comedian, especially in 1973.
Uh-huh.
Look at the entire cast of Caddyshack. Dear Lord, also shit movie. But that's beside the point.
Take that, Kevin Goatee. Gutting the Sacred Cow, I guess, is what this.
I did an entire Gutting the Sacred Cow. About
I'm aware.
It was delicious. You probably didn't listen. What are you talking about?
I can hear when you're what do you call that? Like what's the pimping your own stuff version of a humble brag? Just like
that's called doing a podcast, like
the old Jeopardy there. I was on Jeopardy once. It was no big deal. I don't like to bring it up, but you know, there was a Jeopardy question.
Isn't that humble bragging?
I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit different because the way Ray did it. He didn't mention what that was from, but I think everybody knows.
You know what we call that? We just call that smart because then you asked about it. I got to plug the podcast.
I think it's called thirsty/desperate.
Okay. Yeah. That's a little wordy.
That's been my motto for like 20 years.
thirsty/desperate.
You'd think you wouldn't be so thirsty after all those years.
I never drank.
Then it's not really working.
I'm still thirsty. Oh my goodness. Well, we're talking about G.I. Joe Sigma 6. This is episode 6. So the first 5 episodes were one contained story. I don't know exactly how this is going to go. I think this feels pretty self-contained, but it's definitely part of a larger picture at the same time. I don't know. We'll find out. But this is called Race, episode 6 of G.I. Joe Sigma 6.
It starts with Cobra Commander saying, G.I. Joe has a Power Stone. And I was like, is this the wrong episode?
Yeah.
Go back and check to make sure we had definitely watched episode 5 because it sounded like something happened that we were unaware of.
Yeah. What, where did we leave off in episode 5? It was just like, basically fine after the,
yeah,
they did
the base back or something.
At the end of episode 5, Cobra Commander reveals that somehow the entire first 5 episodes of this show was just a test. It was just a test, and his real target is the Power Stones.
Here's the thing. I liked this episode for the most part, but every time he said Power Stones, like the Power Stone is one of the Infinity Stones,
right,
in the Marvel Universe.
Is and it though?
Yes.
Very and famously, Chan.
And at some point, he says, my gauntlet. And I was like, this bitch is making an infinity gauntlet for his infinity stones.
Yup.
Or it could be the video game from 1999.
I was thinking the Dreamcast game. Yes, 100% Power Stone. And it's a follow-up Power Stone 2. Some of that's honestly, for its era, some of the best multiplayer fighting before Smash Brothers became a thing. Hero of the Dreamcast. I don't own that one. I have a lot of Dreamcast games here. I'm getting into retro gaming. Do not have a Power Stone yet.
By the way, the description of this episode, let me ask if you find a problem here. The description of this episode is Baroness races against the Joes to secure a stone of power.
Yes, absolutely. 100% makes total sense.
Wait, hold on a second. That's not what happened.
Hold on. No. We know that Baroness is a master of disguise.
Okay.
So, I see where you're going.
Obviously, the video that we watched cut off just a second before she revealed that, in fact, she was Zartan the entire time. We just got to get a better copy of this episode.
I think other than the first 30 seconds of this where Cobra Commander is yelling and you maybe see part of her hair, I don't even think she appears in this episode.
Like, even the people that Hasbro hired to caption these things did not care. That's a bad sign.
No, did not.
Bad sign. I did like the Cobra underground base, though. And one of the things I thought about here is they talk a lot about the Power Stones. There's multiples of them. And the key is that G.I. Joe's trying to stop Cobra from getting too many to be a threat, right? Like, that's sort of the idea. And then my head just started running with just like, what if the twist is like, they go back and forth. They're doing this. They're doing a good job. Cobra's kept down. But then you find out in sort of act 3 that Cobra only needs one Power Stone. And they happen to have one. So G.I. Joe now needs to flip the script and do an offensive to make sure they don't have any. I don't know. I kind of think it's cool if they go in that direction. But don't mind me.
I won't.
I think it'd be a cool bit.
Genuinely was fond of this episode. I don't know that I want to go so far as to say I liked it. But if you're telling me, hey, we're going to go all around the world searching for Power Stones. We're going to go from Sahara to the South Pole. That all feels very old school.
Maltese G.I. Falcon. Joe.
Yes.
I'm into it.
I imagine that I won't say I like it. I won't go so far as to say I like it, but I'm fond of it is also what you tell your son at night.
Yes, I also refer to my child as it.
I'm fond of you. I wouldn't go so far as to say I like you.
Here's the thing. He's got to work for it. I'm not just going to give away my love like it was some inexhaustible resource.
It's not a power stone.
No, thank you. It doesn't multiply.
Oh, you know what? I will go as far as saying I liked it. I thought this was a very nice episode. There was a lot of fun things that happened in it, and it was reasonably well constructed. I was good. I was good with this episode. It opened Cobra. Yes.
We start out the beginning with, oh gosh, is it Overkill? The our crazy robot fella.
Oh, yes.
Power. Oh, Ockerville. he has his own thing. I want the power stone so that I can, you know, kickstart my cool ass robo revolution or whatever. And
how does he know this, by the way? Do we know?
Who knows?
I mean, he's got sensors everywhere. Like, he has cameras. He can tap into the security feeds, I'm assuming. He just knows what's happening, even though they keep him in the basement.
Well, I feel like he's one of the people that Cobra Commander is telling to go out and get the thing, even though, you know.
So he's like, he's deduced before anyone else that these power stones will help him in some way that I won't yet reveal.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah. With
build his robot army.
I will say that I don't like the placement of that section here because it doesn't make sense. He doesn't show up or affect the story any more than just saying like, oh, I want this for this reason. And then sort of Zartan figures out accidentally that it does something similar to what Overkill's talking about.
But come on, Overkill's way smarter than Zartan when it comes to science stuff. Right. Like, I can see Overkill playing this forward.
If that were the case, then it should have been a thing where Zartan is doing his thing and he's trying something out. Or rather, Overkill calls him and says, like, hey, I want to cut a deal with you. I want to get these myself. Zartan's like, well, what's he doing there? You know what? I'm going to play with these myself and figure out what he, you know, has discovered. Shoots it, and then all that stuff happens. But because Overkill doesn't make any other overtures here, it just feels weird that there's like this parallel thing that's happening that doesn't fuel the story necessarily.
It will though in the future though, Chan. Like, we never see Overkill the entire rest of this episode. He's right. just there in the intro.
He and Baroness must be hanging out somewhere.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying that when that first thing happened and he's like, I'm going to get it for myself. I was like, oh, you know, it'd be amazing is if every single one of the Cobras here had their own purposes for it. Oh, Destro's got a plan to turn it into a super tank, and Baroness is going to, you know, sell it for gajillions and buy a bunch of, you know, castles in Europe, and like everybody has their own thing. So they're all splitting up, telling Cobra Commander that they're going to get the power stones for him and they're getting them for themselves. That would be super fun. And Overkill saying this sort of intimates that might be the case, but then we just have what feels like a sort of standalone adventure with Zartan, which is fun in and of itself, but it could have been so much cooler if all of these things were happening.
I like that we see Zartan. I kind of hope that in this Power Stone hunt, each villain gets their own episode and their own Joe to face off against.
But if thrown this Overkill section into Overkill's episode, if you put it at the beginning of the next episode where he's like, oh, Zartan figured out that this does some crazy shit with robots, I want it. And then he has a thing.
Yeah, you know. Agreed. That's why I was curious how he knew. I think it would have been cool if Cobra Commander was basically like, okay, I need these power stones. Whoever brings me them gets, you know, whatever, $1 million reward, whatever, my respect, ultimate power. And it becomes this amazing race type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone like starts out wanting it because of Cobra Commander, but then they all sort of also have their own ulterior motives as the evil No Honor Among Thieves style that they are. So if like, I would have loved to see all of the villains sort of set off for these power stones to see how many they could get. And they're all encountering Joes along the way and each other.
Yes.
Buzzer and Torch. You're the last ones to arrive, and you have been eliminated.
Is that literally everything that you just said, Chan?
I think essentially that there's maybe it'll turn out that was the plan all along. You know, we find out in later episodes that they all start doing that. If that's the case, then it was just kind of a little clumsy here. Uh-huh. It's even possible that like they were like running a minute short And they were like, you know what? Just take that chunk about Overkill and throw it in this one so that it like evens out.
I want to see some weird Amazing Race team ups. Like I want Zartan to come across Destro at some point. Yeah. And they're like, you looking for the Power Stone? Maybe we team up. And then we get like a double cross between them.
That'd be super fun.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this show is as interested in the villains as we are, which is a GD shame, because I feel like every person that I've talked to that likes G.I. Joe had a real soft spot for, you know, the Cobras. And I think, you know, if you just give them more stuff to do, that just makes the show more fun.
It felt like Zartan had a decent amount to do in this episode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and anime villains, though. Anime villains are there to sort of look cool and do bad things. They don't.
You always bring it back to your hatred of anime.
Well, I'm just
I think you're prejudiced. You can't blame everything on anime.
He's not wrong.
I disagree completely. You can blame everything on anime.
The reason, one of the
9/11
reasons,
9/11 was anime's fault.
It really was. Hayao Miyazaki was the mastermind behind the.
I would believe it. That man can do anything.
Part of the reason I like this episode was because they lean into the anime a little bit harder. I definitely feel like at least the first five episodes were kind of like, what are these kids like? Anime? Okay. What are they like? The like a robot that talks, or like a robot, a funny robot dog. Yeah, let's put that in there. That's what the kids want, right?
You just reminded me, Chan. I didn't even think about it until you said it right now. No Hawk's son.
No,
Scott.
But I will say that, like, I didn't like Hawk's son. I'm glad we're done with him. I do think it is a little bit weird to have started this season with, oh my God, this weird thing happened, and now a robot is sentient. The robot dog. Because that was like a Hawk's son was sort of messing around, and then all of a sudden, oh shit, the dog like has capabilities way beyond what we had intended. And then once that arc ends in the first five episodes, the next episodes are about, oh crap, something happened, and these robots have become far more sentient than we anticipated.
You know whose fault that is, Gina? Anime.
I mean, this to me is the superior story. Like, I wouldn't have minded if we had just started Sigma 6 with this episode.
100%.
Yep. I agree.
But even if they started with G.I. Joe has a Power Stone, we got to get Power Stones. If you had said that in episode one, I'd been like, oh, we're doing In Media Res? I'm into it. Let's go.
Yeah.
As it is, dropping it here, it feels like something got missed.
I just think, like, you know, having been in so many writers' rooms where, you know, people are pitching stories and the next sentence out of someone's mouth after you pitch something is, we did something kind of similar to that, like, last season. And this is literally, like, a few episodes later, they had a robot dog, something sort of went wrong, and it became self-healing and all of these other things. And then now, there are robots, something went wrong, they become self-healing and sentient. I think it's different enough that maybe like kids wouldn't notice the similarities, but I was just like, this is a much cooler story. I hate that it's coming after that other story.
It might well be that they had that five episode arc like set up to be like near the end or in the middle or something like that. And they're like, nah, we need the kids up front. Just put that put those episodes at the beginning. You're like, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You got a cute dog and a kid. Fuck it. Make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing I have here is moving forward one scene.
No.
Gina, how did you feel about this jungle scene? And this isn't Spirit anymore. Or this is Spirit, but it's his hawk's name is Billy. And he's got like robot eyes. And
it was a little weird. It didn't register to me that this was Spirit until he talked.
Yeah.
Just because in this series, we haven't seen him yet, to my knowledge.
And Freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom was the original Eagle's name. I could not come up with that.
Thank God they changed that.
But that like monkey trying to escape from that snake was nerve wracking.
It was harrowing.
And then
right?
when he basically suicides to get away from the snake, like he's like, I'm just going to jump. And you can see that monkey's face is resolved to dying.
Yes, he is.
And then all of a sudden, a man comes out of the, and he's like falling and he's about to smash into the bottom of a waterfall, this monkey. And a man just bolts out of the forest, catches the monkey, dives into the water with the monkey, protects his little monkey butt, and then like sets him on the river and is like, there you go, my friend. I was like, I want to marry this man. As soon as he talked and I realized they were doing a Native American accent, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, there was something. Yep.
No, I was like, oh, crap, this is spirit. Yeah. But I do like that he seems to have like a Beastmaster hawk that is like that he's like mentally connected to, because the original, I mean, like he had a hawk, like a well-trained hawk, but this time he's like giving it orders. Were they doing that in the original?
Yeah. I mean, look, freedom was an essential part of the Joe team for sure.
Of course.
But like this one's got like the robot eyes are what's messing me up. And the fact his name is Billy, that's just not a good name for a hawk. I'm sorry.
Are they robot eyes or is he wearing one of those hawk hoods that they usually wear?
I don't know now.
Yeah. Cause to me, it looked like those hoods that trainers use so that they sort of like stay on task.
I mean, like Klansmen.
Yeah, this hawk. Also, I just had a great idea. If anyone in Hollywood is listening, I don't know why no one ever did a like Animals of G.I. Joe show, because we had enough.
Oh.
Like there's Polly, there's Freedom, there's the wolf.
Timber.
Yeah, like there are enough. You could add a few more in there, like maybe a lady animal. And you know, maybe something happens, like the Joes get captured and these animals are now in control and they have their own secret division.
Murray, what animal's pink? Flamingo. Okay. Lady J now has a flamingo. It's canon. Send it.
I would believe it.
I am looking at the, at Billy right now, and I'm pretty to me Billy says that it's a Predator reference, like Billy was the name of the indigenous guy, and like, okay, well, this, you know, call him that.
All right.
I think it is a hood,
yeah,
and it is like a techno hood. It's probably got some stuff that
like that enhances his vision, yeah, or something like that, even beyond,
or probably just like relays of video signals back to spirit.
Okay. I mean, there's all of that is legitimate. I just, in my head, I was like, oh, it's a cyborg, obviously.
Of course. I mean, here's the thing, like this, the monkey thing was kind of silly, but after he starts talking to the bird and the bird starts doing shit and he's basically a Pokemon trainer, I'm like, you know what, yeah, I'm in it.
I like it.
This is anime. He's leaping off a cliff to save a monkey that probably would have been fine anyway because it's probably a tiny monkey, and you know.
No, he was ready to die. He was ready for death. Yeah. Didn't you see his little face? he was mentally writing out his monkey will.
Well, how many things does this monkey really own? I don't think this monkey's been trading stocks and bonds. That's all I'm trying to say.
Look, there was a librarian who recently died and left like $1.2 million to the school library that he worked at. No, I'm sorry, it was $4 million because they spent $1 million of it on a scoreboard for the football team. Even though the dude was like, no, buy more books.
Chen,
put the money back into the library. And like, thanks. Thanks for that generous donation, librarian who managed to sock away $4 million, for God's sakes. You know how much money you make as a librarian? Diddly squat. He managed to save that money, and they're like, thanks. The fucking jocks need bigger, brighter numbers. I don't know where that came from. Kind of mad still, just that I don't want that to happen to me.
No, look, here's the thing, Chan. One, F you for bringing that story into my life. I'm enraged now and I have nowhere to go with it. But sometimes there's just stuff from the outer world and we think about it that day and then it worms its way into the broadcast. Like, that's just a thing that happens. Whenever we do a non sequitur, it's probably because subconsciously we were like, that's going in the show. Hey, have you guys checked out this game, Final Girl? The point I'm trying to make here is that that's a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. What we're talking about a cartoon, right?
Well, they're at the Amazon. This is the Amazon rainforest, and
is it the Amazon?
They say out loud, "This is the Amazon."
They do say, yeah.
Okay.
Is there another?
I like
jungle?
That until I'm Chan sorry, agrees with me, it's not real. Like, I couldn't possibly just be right.
You can't, Ray.
There's a hashtag and everything.
Anytime you get something right.
I mean, that's true. We lose listeners every time I say something accurate. it's the opposite of the other show. Anyway, there's Power Stones. They think there's Power Stones here. They're not sure. And this is my favorite part of any G.I. Joe, whether it's the TV show, whether it's the movies, let's do a mission. There's a G.I. Joe mission, and we're going to, like, assemble a roster and come up with a plan and put people in place. And this is what you did when you had the toys and you played with them. You'd be like, there's a mission. I need, like, Ocean's 11, and I need to grab all my figures. And when he was kind of, like, doing this bit, I was so happy as they're going through the database to figure out who's perfect for the mission with their algorithm.
Downloading bio data and mission histories into the analysis program. Analyzing operation profile. Processing bio data for team assignments.
I mean, is it bullshit? Yes.
Yes.
But does it, it feels super video gamey. Yeah. It feels, you know, like, yeah, let's fucking do this. Well, yeah, I agree.
Even in the original regular Nintendo G.I. Joe game, you had like missions and then you yourself had to pick which Joe or what combo of Joes to go on that mission. Like, so you know, it was harder or easier depending on if you picked the right Joes for the right mission. So this has always been a thing. And I got a little revved up when they did this bit and and of course they came up with Snake Eyes and Spirit. And honestly, 95% of all missions based on these parameters are probably going to be Snake Eyes and Spirit. Let's just keep it real.
You are correct. However, in terms of storytelling, I think it was kind of cool near the beginning because you're like, oh my God, these two guys are so super awesome and they go well together. But they ended up being kind of redundant at the end, and
absolutely
it disappointed me.
I think now this spirit in this show is my favorite character of this show, not just because he saved the Ready for Death monkey. His outfit is real cool when they finally like force him to wear his like high tech outfit. Like his eyes are real cool. I like that he saves just any old animal. He's not just saving his own animals, he's saving random animals.
I'm waiting for the butt talk.
Yeah, he's got a sweet, sweet butt.
Okay. I mean,
fair enough.
It's a Simpsons meme, you know. Gina, say the line.
It feels Yay. Like he's wearing nothing at all.
Yay! we find out Cobra has actually found 3 Power Stones. Good deal. Now, I didn't care for this bit of logic here.
Specifically, Zartan has found 3. Not all of Cobra, just Zartan. Yes. In this amazing race of villains, it seems Zartan is winning, which makes sense because he has goons. The others don't have goons. They're going it solo.
He has a goddamn mining facility.
He does. It's a whole mining crew.
So you're telling me the guy with money and means gets ahead in business?
Zartan has never been the guy with money and means in the Cobra organization. He's been doing some shit on the side that we
That's
were
true.
Completely unaware
of. He had a space mining mission at some point.
That dude, he knows what's what.
They did go up, in the Pyramid of Darkness.
Yeah.
Somehow Zartan and the Dreadnoks pulled the card. They're the ones that got sent to the space station, which still, what a plan. No way those guys could screw up the most important aspect of the Pyramid of Darkness. I love Zartan. I love the Dreadnoks. I hate it. He's so dumb here. He's so effing dumb. These things are super, super rare. He gets 3 of them and says, I need to test to make sure they're good. He knows that he's got three of them. He knows what they are. So he shoots one. He just shoots and destroys one of them, creating a base leveling explosion.
I also thought this was very dumb, but then I thought, what if he brings those back to Cobra Commander and they're duds? Cobra Commander is going to freak the fuck out on him.
Gina, yes, he should test them. You know how he should test them? In a laboratory.
Thank you.
Or with a testing device of
he's
some kind.
He's not the lab
Maybe he's
guy.
He's got a mass spectrometer.
He's really
Maybe
not.
Don't
he's really
shoot
not.
The motherfucking thing. My notes in here just all capture, like, did you just shoot one of them, you fucking idiot?
Yeah. You don't drop it in the middle of your mining facility and shoot it. Like, there are 100 ways he could have done this test. He chose, aside from maybe putting it in his own mouth and shooting it, he chose the worst possible plan.
He chose the second worst way to do it.
Second worst way. To do this plan. And I just wrote here how Zartan is just so dumb. Like, and the explosion, they're just like, oh man, I knew it would be big. I didn't think it would be that big. You effing idiot.
To be fair, this is what a little kid would do. Like, a little kid would be like, push the button. Let's see what happens.
There's this huge explosion. Then I think it's Spirit says,
I wonder if they had an accident.
And I'm like, they did not have an accident.
They did not.
Zartan was just a fucking idiot.
They're giving Zartan too much credit somehow.
Like, it's not, he intentionally did that. Like,
Zartan. Again, but to what Gina said, Zartan's not a lab kind of a guy. He doesn't understand, you know, controls, you know, and all that. He's, it's
he
so
owns
dumb.
A mining facility.
Yes,
you don't just fucking go in and like, I don't know, fucking knock out the supports. What's
Listen,
the worst that could happen?
Has Elon Musk taught us nothing? That man owns several things.
Oh, it's my true. God. Is Elon Musk Zartan?
Oh, boy.
A lot of things line up about it.
They really do. I need. Look, we know that the former president lines up very hard with Serpentor.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the bird app idiot lines up very well with Zartan. And I bet if we started like piecing this together, okay, folks online, you guys have, we need to move forward, but y'all at home, show us the ways that Melon Husk lines up with Zartan and let's get a little thread going. Let's
Hashtag
put this together.
Musk is Zartan.
Hashtag Musk is Zartan.
Oh, Musk is gonna be so confused by this hashtag.
he gets confused by a lot of things. Although, to be fair, that more likely he's going to steal the hashtag and say it's his. If I know my internet. So the upshot after the explosion happens is all of the bats in the facility, because we all know, you know, Cobra's loaded with bats now. Like, they don't have a lot of like Cobra soldiers or Vipers or Televipers. Not really a thing anymore in the new G.I. Joes, but they have a shit ton of bats. And all these bats have been overloaded with their circuits and they've been improved. And
the,
so
when he shoots the Power Stone, there's this huge explosion and then they cut back to it. And Zartan, who was like 10 feet away, is still sitting there just fine.
He's fine.
So
yeah.
Like, it wasn't really an explosion. It was this burst of some kind of weird energy, which then leads to all of the robots turning into basically zombies. And I liked that.
Yeah.
I just feel like they could have done it. They could have just had him like put it into a jar and press a button. And then that happens. The shooting it like doesn't make character sense, but the plot device that, you know, like this weird
right.
energy gets released that weren't expecting and it turns into a horror movie is really cool. Like, the set piece is really fun.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, Zartan and his couple of homeboys, I don't even think they're dreadnoks here. They're just guys, aren't they?
Why? Why not have them be personalities?
I don't know.
Even talk? They don't even really talk.
No, he just tells them to go do shit.
They're just factory workers.
I would. I mean, maybe it's because like they didn't want to pay the voice actors or something, and they were like,
they didn't have to.
Yeah, just, you're right. They could have still used the character design. Yeah, and
these guys didn't talk.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, how many times have they done that with fucking Scarlet or any of the women?
Oh, Deke era with what Sergeant Slaughter, like in the second half when they weren't having him on anymore, but he was always there in the background. You right? You know.
Yep.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Storm Shadow approaches. We must defend ourselves. War projectile, ready.
Hey, Billy.
You will not pass.
Fine. Then I'll just have to eat your kids' meal.
Wait, what I meant to say was, welcome.
Now at Burger King, you can read secret codes, launch sling rings, and save the world with G.I. Joe Sigma 6 high-tech gear. There are four G.I. Joe Sigma 6 toys in all. One in every kid's meal, featuring healthy choices like applesauce.
Have it your way.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, so the EMP or whatever goes off. The bats now, not only are they like zombies, they're shooting everybody, but also now they can self-repair when they're blown up and hacked to pieces. They can reform themselves, which is a cool plot point. So now Zartan and his crew are like, we have to get out of here. We just have to leave this facility. These bats are going to overrun us and bring us down. This is too much.
Yeah, this is... So I just rewatched Age of Ultron yesterday.
Nice, nice.
And this was very, like, this was basically Age of Ultron. This is exactly what happens. I mean, you know, he doesn't get electrocuted, but this has major Ultron vibes to me.
Yeah. Who can forget when Tony Stark had the Power Stone and he throws it on the ground and shoots it to see if it's real, and then it brings Ultron
actually,
to life.
I mean, here's the thing. There is a part in... I can't remember if it's the first Avengers, but no, it must have been Captain America, the first Captain America, but they are testing the Power Stone and they have a little piece of it and it fucking explodes the lab because they're doing experiments on it. So,
just, you know, ripped off. They just ripped off Sigma 6. Admit it, MCU. Checkmate.
The vibe that I got movie wise was first Dawn of the Dead and then Aliens, because Zartan at one point is like, you know, like we're going to climb up there and they're still going to be crawling all over the place. We got to get to the escape pod or whatever. And those are two great movie references that I really enjoyed.
I got a little chopping mall. I got a little chopping mall out of there.
There you go.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I love me some chopping mall. We'll take that all day. Guys, these are movies. If you don't know them, you should probably go know them. We're making good suggestions here, people. Write them down.
If you don't know them, you're probably Ray's coworker who's 22 years old.
What do you even mean? It's not even... Oh, my gracious. You're
probably James Gavsey in Thunderdome.
Well... I guarantee you, yeah, he doesn't know literally anything. There are listeners of this podcast who also are Patreon members for the Who Would Win show that have seen Thunderdome, and Delvin Cox, that reference was for you and you only. Okay. this EMP also knocked down Snake Eyes' plane as he was en route to this mission. So he crashes. He survives the plane crash into the Amazon, and they attribute it to the suit. I attribute it to the fact that he's goddamn Snake Eyes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if anyone's gonna like survive a crashed plane and just like never and like brush it off, never bring it up again, it's that dude.
Yeah, Snake Eyes is never gonna bring that up again.
Yeah, and like at some point someone's gonna be like, how did you survive that? And he's just gonna like walk away and they're gonna be like, God, he's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, because to explain it, like he would just be writing for days. I engaged the ejection seat, and then as we're in the air, and I had to twist around, you know, in a 45 degree clock, you know, counterclockwise motion to prevent being, you know, tangled in the. And he's writing out this essay while everyone's standing around, going like, "Is he done yet?"
TLDR, Snake Eyes, just give us a thumbs up.
Yeah, that's all they want is just nod cool and walk away. Okay, awesome.
He did bring a second Sigma suit for Spirit, who doesn't like wearing it, which I thought was an interesting plot point. Even though it enhances everything, he likes to get back to nature and touch grass as the kids today would say.
This is very on brand. I mean, if he was wearing that suit, could he have rescued that monkey in the beginning? Can he dive in the water while wearing that suit? It seems pretty electrical.
I hope so. Because if probably. The water is going to short out your super suit, that shit is not super.
It's not great. So they go.
Unfortunately, we're sort of building to the problem with the pairing of these two, because Snake Eyes is real similar in that he's a fucking ninja.
Yeah,
he should be touching grass too. He should be like, you know, blindfolding himself. What's a Jinx does that?
Yeah.
This was a problem in original Sunbow too. And Chan, I'm glad you identified it. It is they carry the same role on the team. And so one thing that I thought was interesting was at first in the TV show, Snake Eyes is always the guy who's doing that. And then they slid over and you didn't really see Snake Eyes a lot anymore. And that role was replaced by Spirit in later episodes. But it's the same gimmick. You could have both characters all the way through playing either of those roles and it works and it makes sense.
No, one of them likes animals.
Snake, they both like animals. What are you talking about?
The one with a fucking wolf.
A dancing wolf who will wear a costume for you.
Oh, God, I miss that wolf. Why didn't they bring the wolf back for this?
I mean, honestly, it's because DeSantis was like, no, we're not going to have no wolves wearing dresses.
I think it's probably because like, you know, the network was like, ugh, we don't want stupid little kids trying to pet a wolf.
And why did the wolf have like a rat possum tail? Like, that's the part of that costume I never understood. It just was. Anyway, they go to the site. They're going to go explore the giant explosion, thinking, I think that's where Zartan might be. Yeah, you think? I don't need Spirit's tracking ability to tell me that that's probably where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, a really cool moment because the bats are overwhelming Zartan, who's doing a good job putting them down, but this is where we find out they can self-repair. They basically say, like, we can burst through this first set of bats. The plan pretty much ends there, though, because once...
Even more bats waiting for us topside. We'll have to battle through them to reach the cruiser.
Exactly, and he doesn't seem like he's... he doesn't seem like he thinks it's going to happen, right? He's like, we get there. That's what we need to do. But thankfully, the Joes show up and then occupy. And I thought it was a little bit weird that Zartan shouts at the bats, attack the Joes, and they just turn and do it. Maybe that's like initial programming and then secondary programming. I don't exactly know, but that was a weird moment.
I didn't like it because, well, the Joes sort of jump in and start, you know, like shooting at the robots. And there was zero reason for them to do that because the robots were fucking with Zartan. So they should have just waited to see what was happening.
Sure.
Two notoriously
impatient characters, Spirit and Snake Eyes.
Maybe one of them had to poop.
Okay, that's
you know what?
Point.
Then say that. Fucking say it out loud. I have to poop, Snake Eyes. Let's get this over with now. the fact that they could have easily ratcheted up the tension and made an interesting story choice and then just didn't.
Yeah.
They made the characters do something against their nature.
Correct.
For no good reason is what really irritates me.
They had to poop.
That's
a good reason.
Then fucking tell me. Don't make me have to assume.
They're shy.
They're shy poopers.
They're shy poopers.
You know what? All they need is for Spirit to look at Snake Eyes and go, and Snake Eyes go, nod. And then that's it. That's all they need to add. I would go, oh, yeah, Spirit definitely has to take a number two. Something happened. He ate a huge burrito. And we're in the Amazon, obviously. Like, Amazonian burritos are dope as shit. I understand that. But...
The thing that happened that didn't like strike with me is the fact that like we have the plot point where Zartan wrecks them and they self-repair. And then like a minute later, Spirit wrecks a bunch of bats. And then he watches them self-repair and has the same aha moment. And it's like, but we as an audience have already seen that. Yep. So if you're going to do that, only have it happen once in a place where both sides see it happen, because it was very redundant and it really upset me.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to fill time.
Yeah, probably.
I don't doubt that, honestly.
Although Spirit's Sigma suit being infused with this special, like, magical, like, Hunger Games electric bow with electrified arrows was kind of neat. I kind of like that weapon. I like it on him. It looked kind of badass. I'm not usually a fan of bows. I'm just not. But this one was like the super hardcore one that those hunters who are
the compound bow.
Yeah, it's called a compound bow for those at home who don't know. And what's that, Chan? Anyway, and it was badass looking, and the way Spirit held it was badass. And I don't like bows, and I like this, so it must have been extra badass.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Which just leads us to Zartan squaring off with Snake Eyes, because Spirit has to fight off the bat some more, or has to take a poop.
Definitely.
Maybe
one of
maybe
those
both.
Possibly both.
What if it was a recurring bit that he had, like, explosive diarrhea, and so he thinks IBS. He's about to go fight, and he's like, Snake Eyes, I'm sorry, I know this is life and death, but I gotta go hit that tree over there again. It is running out of me.
Oh, that would be I think that might be the worst time to have to poop, is when you're in the middle of fighting sentient robots who self-repair themselves on one side and Cobra on the other side. I think that might be the worst possible scenario for explosive diarrhea.
It's not great.
I mean, the Cobras, I could take or leave. I don't think they changed the math on that at all.
But they're all there. You know that they're the type that will always bring it up. Next time you fight, they're going to be like, you're going to like, you're getting ready to really fight. And then they're going to be like, you need to take a poopy pants. And then you're going to be like, damn it. Now I'm all in my head.
Yeah. Zartan would be the worst too. He'd be like invisible and shit and be like, got a poop, mate. Oh, it looks like you're making a little duty in your pants.
And then it's like one of those things where, like, if someone asks you, like, oh, do you have to pee? And you're like, no, but now I'm thinking about peeing. So now I kind of have to pee.
The number of times I've been there. Yeah.
Mate, there's a waterfall just around the corner. Do you hear it gushing and gushing and gushing, mate?
God dang it. Zartan.
You have to pee now, Ray? Is that what's happening?
Kind of do, yeah. I'm glad I'm not on any sodas today. So I'm raw dogging this podcast. That's what it means, right? If you do it without any drinks, you're raw dogging the podcast.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, go watch Shrinking over on Apple TV.
I will at some point.
Okay. Goddamn Google.
Now that Barry's done, and a lot of questionable things happened there. Am I right, guys?
I enjoyed it. I just think you
didn't
understand.
Who was the guy in the black spandex suit in her house?
I don't remember this plot point.
And then he slams the door in her face as he's menacing her. Or she slams the door in his face when he's menacing her. So he leaves and is like, ow, you hit me in the face. And then he like gets into his car and like rams their house a bunch of times. And it's never spoken of again. And there's no character in that part of their story that would have done that.
It didn't make a lick of sense. I mean, isn't it the dude that she works with? I can't remember.
I mean, never said that guy's never seen again.
No, because it's right after she like fucked with the dude that she worked with. So I think it's him.
An episode later, but they make no point to reveal like if it is him that
because you're supposed to deduce, Ray. They can't spoon feed you everything like baby.
You don't just have
don't watch Secret Invasion. You're gonna be confused by Secret Invasion.
Oh, I hope so. You don't just have an unnamed character show up for one scene, do a really random thing, and then they never speak of that moment ever again on the show. That's what you do to create confusion, not tell a good story.
Chan, I need you to watch this to explain.
What, the last scene is a Top Chef? It was a real good season.
I'm working on it right now. No spoilers. I'm actually in the that's what I'm watching right now.
Chan, you are single-handedly destroying TV.
I am merely its chronicler. I am not the cause of the downfall.
I think you are. I think you and your family are.
Well,
look, I will just ask the question based on my viewing habits. Is it cake? The answer is often
yes. Show.
Yeah,
it's a good show.
I refuse to watch that show. It would just make me want cake.
No, what it will make you want is inedible objects, because then you'll be hungry for like shoes and shit.
Yeah.
No, that's just you.
That's the problem.
Oh,
no,
shit.
No, it's... I'm
going to
back Ray on this one.
Thank you.
It does make you want to eat shoes sometimes.
It's a rare Ray and Chan versus Gina moment on Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
I'm shocked. Please come to my defense. No. Come to my defense, Twitter, and call them sexists again.
Here's the thing. If we meet up around like food and food reality shows, I think we're on steady ground. So
that's true. When we do an entire season of Top Chef on this show, who's ready, Chan?
I would rather eat a shoe.
Look, as soon as I retire, I'm going to be making so many podcasts. Literally everything I watch, I'm going to turn into a goddamn podcast, and it's going to be magical.
It's going to be, I mean, that, I'll be honest, that kind of sounds great. Okay, nope. That's for 100 years from now, Chan. Stop it. Stop toying with my emotions. We've cut to the Joe team. The jungle is too dense for vehicles. So the entire Joe team is now on foot, which explains why they're not going to show up until the very end of the episode. And at least they were nice enough to, you know, unlike the final season of Barry, they were nice enough to at least like tell a story of why a thing's going to happen.
Just because you were confused by this, now we're going to hear about it for the next 79 years.
Yeah.
Until the next show comes along that you're going to be confused by. So I guess we probably won't have to wait long.
That's one of our future podcasts. Ray's confused by ... And it's just me not understanding things.
I mean, there would be too much content to choose from.
It'd be, honestly. Well, that's good. It's our daily podcast. here's the deal. I didn't love this point either, because the cloaking technology for Zartan is too strong for Snake Eyes.
No, who that's
does ninja shit, but yet he gets rocked. Remember when he figured out the Baroness's like multiplicity trick? But yet he's stomped here. Zartan beats the shit out of him, and I did not like that choice.
The who should have been here is either high tech or another person who is very dependent on this cool new technology. They put Snake Eyes in there, which is fine. You know, he can use technology and stuff like that, except they have made a point his entire run. I mean, from Sunbow on, that he's a fucking ninja, and he has ninja stuff, and he does ninja things, and he has ninja senses. So, like, unless they mention at the beginning, like, oh boy, Snake Eyes has really been getting into this, you know, suit thing. Like, he never even gets out of the suit. He's been doing so much cool stuff with it, and we all love it. And they don't make a point that he has changed in some way.
His over reliance of the suit would result in this defeat. I love that idea. They didn't do that.
Yeah, because there was a point where and actually I thought it was a little bit much.
I'll link your suit to the data now. Your Sigma suit will keep updating the tracking info, so you won't lose him.
Like, yeah, that makes total sense. And just give it to someone else who, you know, like, needs that power.
Yeah, I get a really whenever high tech comes in to do the radio thing, I get a real Metal Gear Solid vibe from that, which did, you know, come out before this show did, so it's very, very possible.
It's
right. I can't remember the name of the conversation or who he's talking to right there. Because it's not Roy Campbell. That's not the guy. But there's this other guy that one of them talks to a lot. And yeah, it's just, that's what it is. It's the codec moments from Metal Gear Solid. And I love those a lot, but it is a little bit weird here.
It sort of straddles this line between anime and video games.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is, I just think you don't use it too much in an episode. There was a point where I was like, okay, I like how high tech is, you know, introducing the stuff. And then that was the point for me where I was like, okay, that's, you've gone overboard. Fucking pull it back.
Yeah. So Spirit steps in to fight the battle. Snake Eyes is out of commission, which again, do not like that. I don't like
him knocked out like that.
Oh, I bet you do, you perv.
Whoa.
Oh, God. I can't get hard unless I see a ninja collapsed in front of me, like unable to move, so I can take advantage of him.
Boy, this show took a turn. not where I thought we were going at all. But Spirit does step in, and he stops relying on his tech and relies on nature. And so he ends up like deducing where Zartan is, throws his hatchet at him, which then separates and turns into an electrified net, which pins him to a tree. And I'm like, when he first throws it, I'm like, oh shit, is he gonna jib Zartan in the face with this tomahawk?
Holy shit. It is kind of funny that he's like, oh, the lesson is like, don't rely too much on technology. And then he throws a highly technological advancement at him. Like he's like, oh, I don't need technology. Ha! Take my tomahawk. And then it's like, it's a robotic tomahawk that is also a net.
I mean, he's fucking Spirit. He could have used Ebola or some sort of, you know, like a indigenous
Ebola
trapping, you know, tool. Yeah, a fucking net would have been great. I mean, I saw the hatchet earlier and I saw it was some sort of like cool high tech hatchet. And so I was expecting it to be used. You didn't need to do it in. You should have done it with the robots. Weird. He, you know, busts out and does real cool shit with a, you know, high tech hatchet. And then again, there's that opportunity to tell a story, to weave themes into it. And they just like chose something different for no good reason.
Yeah, I agree totally. And Spirit, to be fair, Zartan says, if you defeat me, you get the power stones. Spirit defeats him and he takes the power stones and says, well, buy your bargain, you know, buy your wager. I get the stones now. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't trust Zartan to keep his word on anything. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that was just sort of Spirit showing off, being kind of a dick.
So. At which point, Cobra airship shows up and starts carpet bombing the entire area.
Love it.
It was crazy. Just straight up, just indiscriminately doing a bombing run on everything in this area, which, you know, the Power Stones are down there, right?
I think Zartan has proven he does not give a shit.
Yeah. The Joe team then shows up to shoot away the airship, which was fine. You know,
no, it was not, because this gigantic stealth cruiser that Cobra has brought to get the stones away is taken down by six dudes with pistols.
There's some rifles in there too.
There was a rifle and a bunch of people fucking Chow Yun fatting it and shooting two pistols
at a
giant plane that is very far away. And I was not happy about that.
It's not great, but I did like the idea. The cavalry showed up. They did the thing they're supposed to do.
I did like that. That was fine.
That was nice. We cut back to Cobra Commander, who is super pissed. He's like, Zartan, I have to murder you now. You understand? I got to murder you now. I did say in so many words that if you failed, you would have to be murdered. And Zartan's like, you need to give me a second chance. This is Cobra, after all. We get lots of chances historically. and Cobra Commander's like, all right, now he's motivated. That's good leadership, you know?
Yeah, I don't hate that.
G.I. Joe then analyzes the Power Stone, somehow not by shooting it in the middle of their base.
I still feel like that's the most effective way, and they should probably continue with that.
And yeah, they find out through their study that the Power Stone absorbs and amplifies energy. It's vibranium from the MCU.
There's a lot of MCU stuff in here.
Yeah.
They should just mine old G.I. Joe if they need new episodes, new movies.
We know that Jurassic Park is a ripoff of a classic G.I. Joe episode. We know this based on timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible the MCU has been directly lifting G.I. Joe Sigma 6 this whole time under our noses?
Not just possible, probable, I would say.
I'll take it.
Bordering on 100% certain.
Yeah, I would say this seems very likely based on this episode alone.
And only this episode, if you take nothing else into account.
Correct.
Anything else.
No, you really have to shut your brain off to certain other things for this theory to work. And I am very capable of doing so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a skill. Not thinking about things too hard.
It's a gift.
You should try it sometime, Gina.
Pass.
Okay. Tunnel Rat also chases the bird, Freedom. I'm sorry, Billy in the back. Why was he chasing the bird? What did he take from him? It was so dumb.
His like beanie, his beanie hat.
He took his hat. Okay.
Which like so I, pretty funny to honestly. I like to think that that bird was like, take off your hat, you disrespectful teenager. You
you're indoors, goddammit.
You're like, bird, your name is Billy. Shut up.
I never fucking understood why that was a thing in school that you had to take off your hat. It just was the most irritating part of any dress code to me.
And I mean, it goes back years. But also it's very prominent. Anytime you're in church, you're supposed to uncover your head before God. And
I'm sorry, is God in the school? Because it's not supposed to be.
You say that fucking Pledge of Allegiance every day. So
thank you.
Oh, I did not. I specifically did not. And I think that if you spoke to me for any amount of time, you would realize that this was a person who very specifically and loudly did not do the Pledge of Allegiance when he was supposed to in schools.
I liked anything that let me put on a show. So I very loudly recited whatever I was reciting.
Yeah, in elementary school, you couldn't stop me. Stop
I wanted everyone to see
it.
My swagger.
Yeah.
Gina, here's the deal. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Different style every day.
Wow. A more rare Ray and Gina versus Chan moment on the show. You're getting the whole gamut of partisanship here. Yes, and then I also stopped like standing for the national anthem sometimes, and you know, I did my duty to protest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how you got to do it.
You know,
Rage Against the Machine, baby.
Yeah, you know, I liked Rage Against the Machine before they got all political. Am I right? What machine do these people think that they were raging against?
It's one of my favorite bits.
Right?
My favorite internet bits.
I love it. Like but it's real. It's not like somebody made it up. These people legitimately listened to Rage Against the Machine and thought to themselves, this is a right-wing pro-authoritarian group. Listen to these words. F you, I won't do what you tell me. They're basically speaking like Ben Shapiro right now.
I mean, they're talking, about woke culture.
I'm not talking about how the Eagles stole that beanie?
Yes.
I'm on the Eagles side.
I'm here's the deal. When you're giving out some exposition, I am heavily in favor of putting something silly in the background for us so we don't have to listen to your stupid exposition.
Mm-hmm. I also bet that dude hasn't washed his beanie in a while. And that
guy that eats bugs.
That hawk was probably like, "Ugh, God, it stinks even for me, and I'm an animal." It was probably messing up his like his bird senses.
It's probably more the case that it was like, "Oh shit, that smells delicious."
Yeah,
there must be some fucking small mice in there that I want to eat.
Yeah,
I was thinking there'd be like some grubs or something in there. Like the tunnel rat does eat bugs in the canon of this show for no good goddamn reason whatsoever. So maybe he's hiding some snacks. It is beanie, and the bird smelled it, and the bird got in there and just wants to eat it.
This character disgusts me.
It's not a great take on tunnel rat. I found that the tunnel rat from G.I. Joe the movie, who was just proudly Latino. And, you know, kind of grew up poor and just found his own way to, like, accomplish his goals was a lot more compelling than nominally Latino guy who eats bugs and likes big boom booms.
You are correct. And yet the character is growing on me.
Oh.
He hasn't done anything in that other
show. Oh, you mean the best character in Cowboy Bebop? Yeah, so, I agree.
He's such trash. We will never see eye to eye on this ever until you agree with me.
I don't see that
such
happening.
Such a Garbo character. And that's why I don't like Tunnel Rat. Tunnel Rat is the Ed of this show. Cowboy Bebop was so good before they introduced that character like 11 episodes or whatever in. And then straight in the toilet. Didn't make me happy. And that's our show, everybody. G.I. Joe Sigma 6, Episode 6 Race. Was this the best Sigma 6 episode that we've seen so far? I might argue yes.
It was the least bad Sigma 6 episode we've had so far.
Come
agreed,
on.
Agreed.
There are good moments in every one of these episodes. There are at least things I remember, things I take with me during these episodes. So they're not dreck. I don't think they're bad. They're not, you know, this is to me appropriately placed at like a 6.5 out of 10, 7 maybe in some episodes. But to have the internet having this thing at like 4 just seems outrageous to me.
Look, it's on an upward trend, I feel like. I'm not going to say that it's going to get good. I'm saying that there are glimmers that there's something there that may be worth pursuing.
That's the most optimism I've ever heard you in about 8 years of this show, Robert Clark Chan.
I've been working on myself. I've been talking to therapists. I've been taking copious amounts of antidepressants. And you know what? Some of it's starting to get through.
That's what you were doing in the Grand Canyon. Antidepressants.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting blissed out on antidepressants. Went into a hut and had a shaman give me some Prozac and take me on a dream quest.
Lovely.
Similarly, I went into a Pizza Hut and had a Pizza Hut employee hand me a Pizzone. Mm-hmm. And that brought me great bliss.
I just plan on making a ton of money, and that's what's going to bring me bliss.
Is that
how's that going well? So far,
I mean,
it's going okay.
I was going to make a submarine joke, and then I opted against it. Just the fact that I even thought it means I'm a terrible human being.
No,
I was going to say, well, I just booked my first submarine voyage, and I'm looking forward to that. But
only $250,000. That's pretty good.
Terrible.
Bargain.
I still don't know what the submarine story is, but I've seen 9,000 bits about it online.
Why I can't? I don't have the energy for your.
People need to know. What if there's people, listeners, who don't know?
One of the most popular news stories, Ray. Just the fact that you don't know about it disgusts me.
I've just seen a lot of shots of like orcas and whales shouting, "Debate me."
Two different stories, Ray.
Ray,
are those two different? Those are two different. I assume that those were connected.
No,
you've got 30 seconds to finish this.
I don't know either of those stories. Guys, I don't know either of those stories. So those are two different stories. Okay. Anyway, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast. You can find us at facebook.com/knowingishalfpodcast. We're getting a little active on there. We really are. We're doing a little bit more. We're liking and commenting and sharing things. We also are on Twitter, obviously, at G.I. Joe Podcast. You can hit us up on patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast to get access to like what at this point, 500-600 episodes of this show. It gets a little intense. It gets a little crazy. We get asked a lot, have you done this show? We got asked, have you done the community episode of G.I. Joe or community episode that features G.I. Joe? I think that's only in the vault right now. And maybe we should put it back on the main feed again if it isn't. Maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. Maybe.
Strikes wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back.
Yo, Joe,
be a hero.
G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Sigma 6.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.